Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, where Barry York, Kyle Borg, and Scott Hunt like to get together and talk theology, talk current events, talk ideas of the day, and try to solve the world's problems. That will be difficult today, as we are short again, one of the three. Kyle is still out with his wife, I think still out at sea, or maybe on his way back now, but we wish him well. He is taking some time off. In his stead, we have the great privilege of having three young seminary students join us today so we can talk to them a little bit about their experience at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, where Barry is the president. So we want to welcome Ian, Ram, and Jay to the show today. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
And Barry, I think since you are acquainted with these three gentlemen, it might be a good idea for you to just give a brief introduction and introduce them to the listeners.
Well, I'm really excited to do so. These are three wonderful men who I've asked to come on today with us just to talk a little bit about some of their training at RPTS. And they're very gifted men and men with just hearts for the Lord. So I was thankful to have them on. Jay Duran hearkens to us from India. And he's a senior and will be graduating here in May, as will Ram Prakashpalan, who is a ruling elder in our Dallas Reformed Presbyterian Church and now studying to be a pastor and seeking the Lord's will. He'll also graduate in May, and he's made a lot of sacrifices this year. He's been a distant student but has a family, has been traveling back and forth from Dallas to study with us, so we're really thankful for his faithfulness. And then we have Ian Gillies with us, who is a Midler student in his second year, and Ian comes to us from Scotland, and so we're excited to have him with us, and he also just got engaged in the last...
Congratulations.
So he's a pretty happy fellow these days.
I bet. Well, Barry's given us a little bit of an overview of, where you're from, kind of what year you are. In your schooling, and one thing I'd like to know is kind of your plans for when you graduate. I know, Ian, you have a little bit more time than Ram or Jay, but why don't you begin, Ian? What are your plans, or what would you like to do? What would you desire to do after you finish with seminary?
Well, I do have a real burden for Scotland, my homeland. I'm a member of the Glasgow RP Church, and I go back each summer for my presbytery exams and to do internships. But at this point, I do feel a burden to minister there after graduation. But for the time being, I know that I just need to keep my head down and study hard and wait upon the Lord and seek to discern His will.
A very wise plan. What about you, Ram? What are your goals, your desires after graduation?
Well, one earlier correction, Ram. You had mentioned that there were three young men. I'm probably not in that category.
you're younger than me. We're recording this on my birthday, and I just got more old. We're old on this day, so.
but my plan, I've been involved in church planting. I'm part of the home mission board for our denomination as well. And so I have a burden. I feel a burden for younger congregations that maybe are in the starting phase. And we've had a great lack of men in our denomination to go into those fields. And so I've felt a burden for that. And those are the kinds of calls that I'm looking at right now.
Okay. Well, and I think I was replaying the question I asked you, and I think I called you Ram. I meant Ram. I do know a Ram, so please forgive me for that. So do you plan on staying in Dallas then after you're done, or are you looking to take a call somewhere to one of these small newer congregations?
Yeah, even Dallas is a newer congregation. We have the congregation I'm a member of there. So I'm looking mostly in the Midwest Presbytery of okay. our denomination. So okay. In the Midwest is where I'm looking.
Okay. What about you, Jay? What are your plans and desires after you graduate from seminary?
Yeah. So I come from the southern part of India, a state called Kerala, which is considered to be the ancient Bible Belt of India. So we've had Christianity for 2,000 years, but it's very nominal. So I've always had a heart for this state. And so I'm going back after my graduation, and I'm planning to be involved in itinerant Bible teaching and also church planting scenarios. So my burden is for that part of the world.
Okay. That's great. It's nice to see, Barry, that we have three men, I won't say young men, so as not to cause offense, but three men who have a desire, and it's a global desire. I mean, we mm-hmm. Scotland and, you know, the Midwest, which is almost like a different country, and India. I mean, we're, you know, there's this desire to go into all the world. It's a great thing.
Yeah, we're excited to see men like this, the Lord raising up and sending to really all parts of the world.
So I don't have to go in any particular order. I have your names written down on a pad of paper, so that's how I've gone in the order, you know, the last question. But one of the things I think is really fascinating is when you go to seminary, do you guys have any experience preaching before you go? And what was that experience like if you did have opportunities to preach? Because that's really what you're going to be called to do, is to preach the gospel. What was your experience before going to seminary? And I don't, whoever wants to answer, or I can call.
Okay. Well, I was taken under care of presbytery about 6 months before I came to RPTS. And they do it a little bit differently in Scotland to America, whereby you're given a provisional license to preach at that point. And so over that 6 month period, I preached a number of different occasions, mostly in my home congregation in Glasgow. But also in a few of the other five congregations in Scotland. So I had some experience before coming to RPTS, but not a lot of experience in preaching.
And up to that point, was it just basically watch and learn and then try to do in preaching, or did you like have any instruction prior to that?
Well, I spent a lot of time with my pastor. I was actually working in the Glasgow congregation for about a year before coming to seminary, and he did an informal preaching class with me where he just walked me through the foundation principles of preaching, and that's proven to be invaluable to me, and it's been exciting just building on that foundation here at RPTS under Dr. York. I'm thankful for that time.
Well, I'm going to mix things up. Jay, what about you? What kind of experience did you have in preaching before you went to seminary?
Yeah, I came to RPTS in my early 30s, so I'm also not a young man.
It's relative. Young is relative, by the way.
And my birthday, my 35th birthday is coming next week, so I don't know. I don't know where I'm young. And I started preaching when I was 20, so by the time I came to RPTS, I had about 10, 12 years of experience of preaching. I began in youth fellowships, which needed English preachers, and then I moved to Sunday service and, you know, other settings. And I was in circles where they didn't have a very rigid view that only ordained men can do preaching. So that's how I was able to do a lot of preaching. So I had quite a bit of preaching experience by the time I came to RPTS. But I have to say, I've never been formally trained in what we call homiletics until I came to the seminary. So yeah, a lot of preaching experience, but real training happened after I came to the seminary.
Okay. And what about you, Rob? What kind of experience did you have in preaching?
Very, very little. When I came under care of our presbytery, I also preached. I, as a ruling elder, you can occasionally preach.
Yes.
And so I wanted to preach a sermon just to my session to evaluate my gifts. I did that, and I also filled in for my pastor once or twice when he was away after I'd come under care. and being a ruling elder. But again, very minimal preaching experience until I was trained at RPTS, which was also a little different for me because I was, Dr. York was very gracious to allow me to take the first preaching class from a distance. So I was able to do that rather early on before coming to RPTS. And that was very, very helpful.
Good. Well, and one of the things I want to kind of get into is this, your experience as being trained in preaching. So tell me, what's been the most difficult thing? And I understand that Dr. York is present and listening, so you can't
very intently,
him.
Very intently.
But what's been one of the most difficult things for you guys to go through in regards to your training and in this experience? Has there been anything that's just been difficult?
I think having patience can be hard. You at seminary, you're hearing your professors preach often, and they're wonderful preachers, and we're just really starting out in the way of preaching, and it can be easy to compare yourself and to really try and accelerate the process of growing in preaching. So just learning to wait upon the Lord and to seek to grow at a good pace, not trying to jump ahead and be something that we're not. So that's something I've found difficult, but the Lord grants grace.
Yes, he does. What about anything challenging? What has been the most challenging thing that you've had to deal with in your training as to become a preacher? Jay, what do you think?
Yeah, for me personally, because I have preached almost a decade, I had to really unlearn a lot of things which are so foundational to the way I preach. So, and unlearning things are really difficult. You know, you're so used to doing certain things in a certain way, and you think it'll deliver results. And then here comes a professor and says, "No, you can't do like this. You got to do like this." So, molding myself into this new grid was really difficult. And but I've come to see the value of it, and I've come to see this is not just simply a technique or a grid that is being taught here. It has value, and it's actually more effective. So that's a bit abstract, but
it's helpful.
Unlearning, and I've come to see that there is great value in putting up. Most of what we learn here at seminary are not Dr. York's innovative principles or anything like that. These are time-tested. For centuries, people have preached like this, and it has been found to be effective. So I've come to see maybe I've done something for many years, but that doesn't mean that's the best way or the right way of doing it. So it requires humility and teachability, mm-hmm. and it's challenging to do something differently than the way you've always done. Sure. So that was really difficult.
What about you, Ram? Have you found anything particularly difficult or challenging in your studies and your training to become a preacher?
Yeah, I have my background is in computer science, and so I have a very kind of analytical mind, naturally speaking. And I think this is a trap a lot of Reformed people fall into anyway, because they have very similar minds, is to move beyond the explanation of the text and all the interesting things that you find in the text, really the exhortive force of preaching. You know, making that transition and also, you know, juggling, when you first consider it, considering all the elements of preaching of, you know, explaining and exhorting and showing forth Christ and the gospel and man's fallen condition and demonstrating their need for Jesus Christ, all those things, wrapping that up in a sermon at first can be very overwhelming for a new preacher or a young preacher. And you're wondering the right proportions to put all these things in. Does every sermon need every bit? It's one of those things that I'm very grateful for the model that Dr. York has, where he continues to have us just before we preach a sermon, go through several exercises. Maybe we'll get to that in a bit, but that really help you get a lot of clarity into what you're doing in the sermon. So it can be very overwhelming at first.
Yeah. Hey, have you guys found anything to be, as you're going through classes? You do get opportunities to preach at the seminary, is that correct, during chapels and that? How have you found that? Has that been intimidating to you, helpful? beneficial in any way? I can see a couple smirks, so we'll see how that goes. What do you think, Jay? You got a good smile on your face there.
Yeah, probably that's the one thing I really like about RPTS more than anything else. Like, I don't know any other seminary where you get so much opportunity as a student to preach. Initially, it is intimidating because you're preaching in the chapel where you have all your professors and all your peers. And, you know, that makes you nervous. Like, you want all your theology and all your exegesis and all your homiletics to be perfect because it's embarrassing if you make a mistake. So you feel like you need to be an expert on this topic. But none of the professors actually want you to do that. So initially, it is very intimidating and scary. But over a period of time, you realize this is really good. So for me, I really love this fact about RPTS that you get to preach. And I think if I'm right, for you to graduate as an MDiv student, you have to preach at least 7 times. So 3 practicums, so it's 7 times. You have to preach 7 times. I really love that because Dr. York has a very standard model or a grid of how you prepare your sermons. Of course, we do different types of practicums, but the model, the method remains the same. So over and over again, you get to practice this and preach it in chapel with accountability and mentoring going on, so that by the time you graduate and you are in a pulpit, it's not like you're trying to figure out a technique. It has already by this time become natural for you. A lot of places I've heard, and this is probably India, I don't know about US, but any Sunday if a seminarian is preaching, people are scared. Oh, a lot of academic talk, a lot of Greek is coming our way, a lot of incoherent, you know, spitting out of what he heard in the class is coming our way. And that shouldn't be what seminarians should be known for. Seminarians should be known for people who are able to preach the gospel really well. So I think in the seminary itself, we have a setting where we can practice that and be corrected, so that by the time you're in ministry, you will have mastered somewhat of this grid, so that it's very natural. And personally, for me, I love this rhythm. You got to preach 2 sermons every quarter after your first year. It makes me orient all my theological studies around those 2 sermons. So it keeps me from becoming a dry clinical academic, because I have to, along with all my studies and papers and classes, I have to prepare 2 sermons where I flesh out all this theology in a manner that is life-giving. So it forces you to consider theology as, at the end of the day, something that you herald to other people. So I love that. I think seminary should be a place where you are forced to ponder, reflect, and articulate how all the truths that you're learning are life-giving. Now, if you write a paper, it does facilitate reflection, but I think a sermon is all the more different because you're now taking to the pulpit and you're proclaiming it. So it forces my time here at RPTS to not be a dry academic, because at the end of the day, like you said, you're going to be pastors and preachers for preaching the gospel. So I love this, and intimidating, yes, but very, I think, a unique quality of our seminary.
Yeah. Ian, what have your experiences been preaching there to the professors and your fellow students?
Well, my challenge in chapel is making sure people understand my accent. No, all seriousness, I think it's a good practice just to be preaching to preachers. You know, our professors are pastors at heart, and they have pastoral experience, and I have found it very beneficial to preach in a context where you know those who you are receiving feedback from are preachers themselves and have been for some years, and you can trust that they're going to be honest with you too. And even when they perhaps give criticism, it's constructive criticism, and we know that their chief desire is to see us grow as preachers. And the chapel is a really good context for that to take place.
So, what about you, Ram? Have you enjoyed it, found it intimidating, had any other kind of reaction to preaching in chapel?
Well, I will also echo the fact that it's very intimidating, especially at first. I think the pulpit in general is an intimidating place. Mm-hmm. I think even Knox said that he trembled every time he entered the pulpit. And I think that's healthy, but it's especially intimidating at first when you've got your professors, as these other men have said. But you'll find it's actually one of the friendliest congregations to preach to, because they're all there really rooting for you. All your students, they really want you to succeed. You see smiles on their faces when you're up there. Even if you fumble a couple of things, they're there, you know, sort of nodding and cheering you on. So it's a very encouraging place and a very safe place, really, to preach. And I've enjoyed that. And I'll also echo the feedback from the professors. We typically, in addition to Dr. York, have another faculty member give us feedback after we preach. And it's a nice time where you sit down with them. Some will give you 40 minutes of feedback. Some will give you a little less. But it's always very, very helpful. And I love seeing, you know, the Lord has gifted different preachers differently. And so hearing what one man has to say compared to another is always very illuminating. So I enjoy that about the chapel experience.
And Scott, if I might just add, I really appreciate these guys' perspective. The 7 times of preaching in chapel are the minimum. Guys can take other practicums for electives. And we also put a goal for our students to preach 25 times or more during their time at RPTS. So a lot of these guys are going out and preaching over the weekends in congregations. We have a relationship with the home for the aged in the community, Teen Challenge. Some of our students go and preach in chapels at Teen Challenge. They have internships. And so 7's the minimum, and that's probably the crucible because they're there in the chapel. But as I tell them often, the real preaching is getting out and taking the Word of God. And we want our students doing that while they're at RPTS, not waiting till after they graduate to do that, because I think those times are very valuable to them as well.
Yeah, and I can tell you, this summer, obviously, our pastor had a sabbatical. And so we were blessed to have several seminary students come to our church and preach. And Jay, to echo one of the things that I think you said is, what I saw was men with a heart for the gospel, not men who were trying to show how smart they were. They had a heart for the people. And I think that comes from the training that you get at seminary. That's, that's instilled there. So I want to echo that, a lot of good things are happening there at that seminary. So Barry, I have a question for you, or excuse me, I'll call you Dr. York to fall in line with everybody else. That is so hard. For years, it was Pastor Barry to me.
That's still Barry.
So Dr. York, as you train men, what are your goals and what is the approach that you like to take in training these men for ministry?
Well, one of the things I tell these guys is I'm a pastor and a preacher, and I'm just part of the team. And, if you want to call me anything, maybe call me Coach York, because I tell them that when they're up there preaching and I see them growing and developing, it just causes my heart to rejoice. So I really view my role, as you heard from these guys, all of them have received some manner of training before they got there, different degrees of it. And I feel like my role is to come alongside them. Every man that the Lord sends to us is a unique messenger of the Lord. He has his own experiences, personalities, ways that God's going to use him. And I want to come alongside and just encourage the further development of their desire for preaching. So we really talk a lot about having a heart for preaching. We really emphasize a lot the need for prayer to accompany preaching. So the very first assignment they get in any of my preaching practicums is that they have to assemble a prayer team and be in regular contact with that prayer team so that they can be praying for them and supporting them in their preaching ministry. And then just we do a lot of weekly exercises. So instead of just sitting there lecturing to them throughout the whole time that we're in the homiletics class, I do lecture. I do teach them different aspects regarding preaching. But one of the things I really feel like you learn to preach by preaching. And so I like to give them 2 or 3 minute assignments where they're building parts of their sermon, whether it's presenting what their homiletical point's going to be and how they got that from the text, or preaching a little portion. Maybe they're in a narrative part of the Bible and they're preaching, telling the story a little bit and showing how that leads to Christ, or giving us the introduction to their sermon. And then we give them some immediate feedback. so they can take that and keep working on their sermonic development. So that's my basic approach in a nutshell.
Okay. Is that pretty accurate, guys, to your experience?
Yeah.
You know, I'm putting you on the spot. You can't contradict the
doctor. Sure they can. I can push back.
I will say that those 2 to 3 minute exercises have been incredibly helpful. I was talking to Ian a little bit before we started, and I was just telling him how much I appreciate it. Gives you a lot of room to experiment that you would never get in the worship service of God. And you're able to be a little bit more free or to try things. And I really like his coaching metaphor because that's what it feels like. He's there coaching us, always giving us a word of encouragement along with his feedback. And it's a very encouraging process.
Yeah. One of the things, Scott, that we emphasize too is our chapels are, they come in between class periods. And so the guys, when they get up to the pulpit, they only have about 20 minutes to read the Bible and to do some other things and then preach. So their sermons have to be in chapel, 15 to 17 minutes. So that focus of a shorter, concise message that's clear, I tell them that's good for them because they're always going to go longer when they get out into other settings. And then that's okay to be longer in other settings. But if you can learn to preach well in 2 or 3 minutes or 15 minutes, then there's more likelihood you'll be able to preach when you get some more time. So,
yeah. And you know, I don't preach, obviously, being an attorney, but I find in order to make a good short argument, it takes a lot of preparation. So it's almost harder to put together a 15-minute sermon than it is a 35-minute sermon, because you have to really focus in on those points that you want to make and have to leave some of the, I've heard them called gems that you find in the passage out, you know, so you have to do all of that. So I can definitely identify with the difficulty that would be involved in that.
And all of God's people said, amen. These guys are all nodding.
Yeah. We are kind of running short on time. We're almost at, the end, but I wanted to ask, Ian, what's been one chief lesson you've learned thus far in your schooling at RPTS? One thing that you think you'll take with you and use throughout your life and ministry?
Well, Dr. York mentioned briefly that he has us get a prayer team each time we do a practicum, and I think just the importance of prayer, both our own prayer and having people praying for us. It's something that Dr. York emphasizes, and it's something that becomes more and more clear. But when we're asking people to pray, what we're doing when we are asking that is saying that we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need the help of the Lord, and that's true of every preacher and every minister. So if there's one thing that's really been impressed upon me in my time here so far, it's been they need to pray and to pray often and to have people praying for us.
Yeah. What about your, and I know that's a great answer. So it kind of, it may steal your thunder, but is there a lesson that you've been able to take and glean and that you believe you'll take with you as you go into the world?
Yeah. In addition to what Ian just said, I think one of the great things about RPTS is you see the devotional character of theology. Yeah, we pray in our classes, we sing psalms in our classes. The professors are all pastors or have been pastors. And so they'll be in the middle of teaching a lesson on a piece of theology and suddenly a sermon will erupt from them. And you'll get, you'll be cut to the heart from something that you're learning in class. And I think keeping that focus on how our theology is meant to move God's people to glorify him has been very important at RPTS.
And what about you, Jay? Is there any, you know, any piece or, you know, nugget that you've gleaned?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm personally more of a teacher. So most of my preaching before RPTS has been more like a commentary type preaching. And it's actually after I came here that I've homiletically learned how to make all my preaching to orient around the one main thought of a text. So that's the most life-changing aspect as far as my preaching experience is after coming to RPTS. So Dr. York has enabled me, training here at RPTS enabled me to not turn my sermons into mere teaching. You know, mm-hmm. So you're a preacher, you're heralding a text, and you know, Dr. York often quotes a quote. You know, every sermon is meant to move people, and all his grid is aimed at moving people to action. So that's an emphasis you hear all through his courses, and I will take that home.
Well, guys, it's been such a pleasure and a joy to just sit down and chat with you. I feel like I know a lot more, not only about the seminary and what you go through, but how the Lord's using you three, and certainly look forward to seeing how the Lord will use you throughout the world. I mean, that's just a wonderful thing to contemplate, that, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now, you three will be on different continents, all being trained in the same place, all preaching the same gospel of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Certainly moving, and it's so nice to hear your stories and how the Lord is working in your life. So thank you all for being with us and for taking time out of your busy lives as students to come on 3GT with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
And Scott, if I could just say, the Lord's really working in these three guys, because I one of the privileges of being a professor is every day I get to sit under preaching, and I'm often ministered to by my students, and certainly have been with these three guys. So I'm really excited as I see them getting ready to head out into ministry, what the Lord will do with them and through them.
Well, with that, I think we will draw this episode to a conclusion. We thank you, listeners, for joining us. We hope and trust that you will have been encouraged by what we have learned that is going on at RPTS. We are thankful that the Lord is using Dr. York there to train men. I know he has been instrumental in many people's lives, including this host's life. But we hope that you have been encouraged, and we ask that you'd continue to pray for the students at RPTS and pray that the Lord would raise men up for the ministry. So until next time, we thank you for joining us on 3GT.
This episode of 3GT was sponsored by Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information on how you can benefit from the teachings of RPTS, head on over to their website at rpts.edu. That's rpts.edu.